Fans, we have a special segment coming up brought to us by Volvo Cars of Walnut Creek and Nation's Giant Hamburgers. This past winter, Bill King, legendary Bay Area broadcaster, received the highest honor given to a baseball broadcaster when he received the Ford C. Frick Award for Excellence in Broadcasting from the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Bill King began his career behind the mic during World War II with the Armed Forces Radio Network, recreating games for the troops. Bill brought games to life with his lively phrases and use of language, perhaps best remembered for the exclamation, "Holy Toledo!" when a particularly wild event happened. Bill began his Bay Area career in 1958, joining Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons on the original Giants broadcast. Over his six-decade career, Bill described the action of the championship seasons of the Warriors, Raiders, and Athletics. Bill King meant the world to me. When I started my show in 1998, he was always there to give me encouragement, but most of all, respect for the work I was doing, interviewing those connected to the game while chronicling the oral history of baseball on a daily basis. Bill's door was always open to me. He was a dear friend, and I miss him every time I walk into the ballpark. His passing in 2005 was one of my saddest days, but what a life he lived. Bill's love of opera and ballet. Bill was an accomplished and wonderful artist, an expert in Russian history, a voracious reader, and an accomplished sailor. Those were just some of his loves away from the park. I'm thrilled to play for you some of my conversations with Bill over the years. Just hearing his voice makes my day. He never wasted a word, and his use of language is unsurpassed. Now here's Bill King talking some baseball with me. Holy Toledo!
This morning with Bill King. Bill, Dennis Eckersley retiring his number. I just want to get your thoughts about him.
Well, of course, the teams on which Eck was the feature performer at the end of the ball games were replete with outstanding players, some destined for greatness for the Hall of Fame, and just great ball clubs. But to me, he stood out because, obviously, the focus is on the guy who comes in there and closes it out. And the way Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan evolved ex-transfer from being a starting pitcher into a reliever, they really created a new role and a new concept of the end of the game. Because prior to that, relievers who did the closing work often came in the seventh or the eighth inning. But what they wanted to do was structure, and they had to have the people to do it, to set up, to structure it so that Eck had the ninth, started the inning clean, didn't have to come in and try to get out of somebody's mess. And with the weapons that he had, he could take care of business, bing, 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 and everybody got ready to go home. He had such a commanding presence on the mound, and I find it fascinating in light of the fact that after you get to talk to Eck for a long time, he's a guy, you know, who's very candid. He doesn't hold anything back. He was always very frank about the fact that he pitched successfully out of fear. And I found that fascinating because another great athlete of a time here in the Bay Area and in Oakland, Kenny Stabler, I thought that he succeeded because he had no fear. He did not suffer any anxieties about the consequences of what he did in the game. If it was good, great. If it wasn't, well, we're going to play next Sunday. I thought that was a wonderful contrast. But Eck was like a surgeon at the end of a game. And people, somebody mentioned this the other day, and I think it should be emphasized. It's been that long now since he was here, but people think maybe in terms of him as a finesse pitcher. Yes, he had finesse, but he had a crackling good fastball that he could sink. And he could sink it on the quarter inch on the outside and then come back with that slider. And it was, he just was always throwing strike one, strike two. The hitter was in the hole to begin with and on the defensive. I liked the imagery that Roger Angel, in one of his pieces on the A's at that time, applied to Eckersley. He said, "Dennis Eckersley, man of the century, pause, the 16th century, D'Artagnan, the companion of the Three Musketeers, like a fencer, parry and thrust and parry and thrust." And it was a beautiful thing to behold. It was an art form.
Boy, beautiful story here from Bill King on Dennis Eckersley. Quickly, could you realize how good he would be as a closer?
Oh, I think after two or three times out there, yeah. You know, it was foreign to him. He resisted it. Being the professional he was, he tried his best to make this thing work, and he found a way to do it. But I think really it didn't take long once he got into the role and then realized what he could do and then fully embraced it.
How do you like the concept of retiring numbers at the ballpark and the special day that it has become over the decades of baseball?
I think it's very good. I think it adds to the flavor of the tradition of a franchise, and that's something I think baseball is, that is inherent about baseball, and that is tradition, continuity. The period of franchises have been in existence a century or more, for example, in the case of this one. The Yankees really started it, you know, with Lou Gehrig. And then it became a big thing, and then they evolved that into the old-timers game. And because they won so many pennants in World Series, innumerable numbers are retired. It's hard to find a number now for somebody coming to the ball club. But, no, I think it's a wonderful tradition, and I think generations that come along, they look out there and they say, well, who was 43? Who was 34? Or in New York, who was 7? Everybody knows, of course, but that I think helps to make a tangible continuity of the history of the franchise.
You know, there was a trivia question on the radio or on TV last night. Which number has been retired more than any other? And it turned out to be number 4. I didn't know that, but then they listed the names, and with Duke Snyder and Earl Weaver came to mind, Paul Molitor, but I guess number 4 always being the cleanup hitter, maybe that was a special number.
And Gehrig was number 4, and he was the first one. I think that's fitting. David Feldman came in a bit ago and told me there's never been a 43 retired before.
Well, Bill, thanks for taking the time to talk about Dennis Eckersley.